Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. Warm temperatures and no rain this week in the garden. Tony's been out hand watering our containers and our vegetables. I lost two potted plants, but I bought two more, so we'll talk about them later. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. So if you replace the potted plant that you lost, is that like replacing a puppy or something?
No. Well, they're not as much work.
Okay. All right.
And that's the good thing. the bad thing is I'm busy, and this week, you know, our grandchildren had strep throat last week, so I started to get a little sore throat and just was worried about it. It's just allergies.
I was going to say, it's probably allergies. We are so dry right now.
Oh, it's incredibly. We're supposed to get some rain next week, 20 to 30% chance, and so we really desperately need it. But I had a great week this week, got to do everything a gardener loves to do, walk through a landscape, and was, you know, asked, okay, Teresa, if you could do anything you want, what would you do? That's like gold.
Oh, that's crazy awesome.
Yeah, that is gold. And so I got to buy new plants, the Sunshine Ligustrum, which is really very, very cool. It is a bright yellow ligustrum.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's very nice. And then I just fell in love with this beautiful peach and yellow petunia. It's called Super Petunia Honey from Proven Winners. And so I loved the color of it. And I know how you love the color yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get that. And then I talked last week about meeting the authors. And I moderated a panel of four garden authors for the National Garden Bureau. And we had the event this week. And what a great event. And got to, we had three of the authors who have been on Better Lawns and Gardens. So it was like seeing old friends again, you know, and seeing them. And then Michael Perry was on, and he is the plant geek.
Ooh.
And he's got a new book out, Hortus Curious. And I was really very good, but we got a lot of new listeners. And so welcome to everyone from the Southeast, from Texas. We're getting a lot of listeners from Texas.
Nice.
And then also the North, even the North. So welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. So, Lizzie, do you know how many pecans it takes to make a pecan pie?
Well, I've made quite a few of them, but I never actually counted them. Let's go with 100.
Well, that's you know, a good count, but it may be a little much. Pecans are native to North America, so it's entirely fitting that our pecan pies, you know, we think about them this time of the year at Thanksgiving. And so pecan itself, though, is a more recent invention. It wasn't around in the pioneer days.
Oh.
Okay, so, or the Plymouth Plantation days with the Pilgrims. But while the first printed recipes for pecan pie started appearing in the late 1800s, the pecan pie classic as we know it today became very popular in the 1930s to help them sell Karo syrup. Do you know what Karo syrup is?
That's like corn syrup, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the mm-hmm. Karo syrup. Mm-hmm. Well, my mom used to put that on our pancakes, so we grew up eating Karo syrup on our pancakes.
Never would have thought that.
Yeah, but I think she thought it was kind of, because she's from Scotland, that it was like treacle, you know, and the heavy treacle sauce. But so how many pecan pies or pecans does it take to make a pecan pie? You need 2 cups, and that's about 66 pecan halves. So about 33-34 pecans. And if you happen to have pecan in their shells, 1 pound equals 3 cups shelled and about 4 cups of pecan halves, and then about 3 3/4 cups of chopped nuts.
Oh,
so that's how many. I love pecan pie. I love it warm, and I love it with whipped cream.
Yes. Okay, now I'm gonna get my recipe out just quick. All right.
Yep.
I've made pecan pies. All right.
Yep. And do you really say pecan?
Yeah, I say pecan. I don't know.
Okay, that's good. You
know,
can.
Some of my stuff is New England. My other stuff is Southern. I don't know how my accent and verbiage comes out. But, okay, the key is I found the Pioneer Woman's recipe. All right.
And
I kind of put it in my head of figuring out why this worked so well. Where I've made them before and you just kind of sprinkle the top or put the pecans on the top, right? Mm-hmm. No. She has you layer the whole bottom with the pecans at the bottom. Then you pour your liquid over the top of it. And then while it's cooking, it's like boiling the pecans. So it's caramelizing them as they make it to the top. That is, in my own opinion, is the key.
I need your recipe. But it's the Pioneer Woman.
I can send it to you.
Please do. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. All right. And so, well, Dana Van Ricks is going to be with us to tell us how to grow our own pecan trees, chestnuts, so we can have chestnuts roasting on the open fire, and then also hickories. And so this is the time of the year to be growing nut trees. And so Dana is going to be with us, and he's going to give us some really wonderful tips on that. And so I love the idea of we can grow nut trees here in Florida, and Thanksgiving is a really good time of the year to do it. So what can you be growing right now? Well, our vegetables are beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbages and carrots, cauliflower and celery. Our celery is doing really well. Chinese cabbage, collards and endives, kale and kohlrabi, lettuce and mustard and onions, peas and radicchio, radishes and rhubarb, rutabaga. I love rutabaga. It is the orange turnip, not the white one. And then spinach, Swiss chards, and regular turnips, the white ones. And then also herbs, especially for Thanksgiving, anise and arugula, basil and borage and chives, cardamom and chervils, cilantro, coriander, dill and fennel, garlic and ginger, lavender and lovage, Mexican tarragon and mint. We'll go through the rest of those throughout the show. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, you're here with us, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And this morning, if you're in Lakeland, you have an opportunity to go to Peterson Nursery and sit in on their lecture, which is called Landscaping for Winter Color. And then Howie says they're supposed to get some rain today, so I hope so, because the whole state of Florida, we just need a good deluge right now. And so welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I have seen the trees change in color, and one of them that is a bright yellow is the hickory tree. And nuts do very well here in Florida. And so Dana is with us this morning. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
It's
a beautiful morning.
It is. And I am in the mood for pecan tree and pecan pies. And so, you know, tell us about what nuts we can grow here in Florida.
Well, actually, there's quite a few. And there's some of them that are native. And actually, we have three native hickory nuts, believe it or not, that are native to Florida. And so, and they are the scrub hickory, the bitter nut, and the mucker nut.
Yeah, the mucker nut is really wonderful.
The only one that's not native is a water hickory. You don't use that one is not as hardy and not native.
Right. And so, I mean, they're dropping their nuts now. It's a great time to be harvesting them. And so so tell us about, you know, growing hickories and pecans, and what other nut trees can we grow?
Well, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they had a few seedling, and they said, well, it'll take years and years, you know, before you have any pecans. And I said, well, I want to graft it. Well, but I've got a few grafted. They go very fast. The important thing is on the grafted trees that have been developed, you know, to produce fast, because they are grafted with known varieties, you've got to have type 1 and type 2, sort of like avocado, because the male and female don't ripen at the same time, so it's important to match a type 1 with a type 2. Type 1s, for example, are Cape Fear, Pawnee, Desirable, and Jackson.
Right.
And type 2 are Elliott, Stewart, and Mohawk. And so if you get one, you've got to realize what type it is and get another type to go with it. so you have good, pollination.
So even
and
with
wind pollinated.
So even with
as
a graft,
as you put them within 300 feet or so, mm-hmm. wind will pollinate them if you have the two types.
Excellent. So how soon will they begin to develop fruit? How old do they have to be?
Oh, my gosh. Several years we used to grow them in Winter Haven. They would grow out fast if you cultivated them well and fertilized them well. Make sure you had some zinc. They accumulate a lot of extra zinc, so you got to have extra zinc, like zinc sulfate in the fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they don't do much. But we had them in 5 years, lots of big trees and lots of nuts.
How much
space? And lots of squirrels that help us pick them.
I can tell. I understand the squirrels' passion about them. That's wonderful. But how much space do you need to grow a nut tree like a pecan or a hickory?
50 feet. 50 feet minimum spacing, and at least 25 feet away from any building or structure. And at least 25 feet from any sidewalk or driveway. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Right.
They're huge trees.
So maybe it would be a good idea for neighbors to buy one, buy a pecan, a pecan tree for each yard. And then that way they can help each other.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. That'd be real teamwork, That's Mother Nature's way. So let's work together and help Mother Nature.
So tell us about chestnuts. We lost, a lot of chestnut trees back, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But now, are they coming back?
Well, they are coming back in sort of a convoluted way because there was a survivor of the American chestnut that proved to be resistant. And they tried to inoculate that fungus that killed all those trees, and it didn't kill it. So that was crossed with some cultivars, Chinese chestnut cultivars. And out of that came the very good Dunston chestnut, which is a really high-quality, disease-resistant chestnut. And it has great meaty fruit, high quality.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people are growing the Dunston chestnut now, and we have that. I highly recommend it.
Wonderful.
It's
so you do.
You can just imagine roasting chestnuts by the fire this Christmas.
That's true. Yeah. So you have them at Quality Green Specialist. You do have chestnut trees.
We do.
And do you need two trees for chestnuts too as well?
No, you need... They say to plant two or three for best results. You don't need different types. But, it's always better if you plant more than one.
Okay. How tall do chestnut trees get?
How tall?
Yes.
Well, the Dunston chestnut doesn't get as tall as the old American chestnut. It gets pretty tall, though, probably 30 to 40 feet.
Oh, that's a nice shade tree.
In Central Florida, maybe not quite that large, but there are some beauties here. Like, there's a tree that bears a lot of chestnuts every year, a neighbor of mine in DeBerry, and just delicious.
Oh, wonderful.
It's not that big, but it's about 20 feet tall.
Are there any pest problems with nut trees?
Besides
squirrels?
You've got to be ready, For example, if you have a Cape Fear or a Stewart pecan, you better be ready to spray because the diseases just love to jump on them. Yeah, it's a two-edged sword, You need two different types, but sometimes that second type needs to be sprayed often. And so that's just part of the game, with nut trees, because if you like them, certainly the fungi and other pathogens will love to attack them also.
Well, this is Florida, right? What can we expect?
Right. Humid and hot and humid. Even.
And so besides nut trees, orange trees and citrus trees, and what other kind of fruit trees can we be planting right now?
Oh, my gosh. I've got some really, really nice persimmons right now. And that's one of the best there. They go dormant, and so this is your best planting time. I've got three types. The Fuyu, which is the most widely grown, non-astringent, excellent, virtually seedless. And you could eat it like an apple before it's fully ripe. It has like a pretty yellow-orange color. It crunches like an apple. I also got Sayo and Tananashi, which are astringent, but they are delicious. Sayo means in Japanese the very best one.
Oh.
A lot of people swear that's the best.
That's great.
It has to be fully ripe.
That's fully ripe. And how long does it take to get ripe?
Oh, gosh, you know, they ripen September, October, November, this time of year. There's some next door that are starting to turn color and ripen right now, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's late in the season. Very important with persimmons, only fertilize in the spring, because if you fertilize with nitrogen fertilizer in the summer and fall, all the fruit drop off. That's very important note there with persimmons.
That's interesting.
Tananashi is one of my favorite. It's very it's orange, yellow flesh, really the bright orange skin and cone shaped. It have to be fully ripe before you can eat it. Otherwise, your mouth draws up like you can't talk.
I can appreciate that. And so, is there anything special we need to be doing to our nut trees or fruit trees right now? Any kind of fertilizer, but except for persimmons?
Yes, you know, I've even found, you know, if you put those special minerals, it helps gives better root growth, like SPM, for example. I emphasize that in the fertilizer or separately. Potassium, magnesium, sulfate. And all three of those contribute to root growth and cold hardiness, more hardiness for going out in the spring. Very little nitrogen, very, very little nitrogen.
And I think we're finding that a lot in our soil testing, that we don't need to use as much nitrogen as we think we do here in Florida.
Oh, yes. If we have all the minerals, basically the microbes in the soil, we'll make enough nitrogen, especially, you know, this time of year.
Wonderful. So Dana, you have all of these wonderful trees at your nursery. Tell everybody where you're located.
We are located near downtown DeLand, actually 335 West Michigan Avenue, 3.5 blocks west of the Stetson campus, right across from the St. Barnabas School. And you will love it. It's one of the most beautiful nurseries. We have, I think, the best selection of fruiting trees and plants anywhere around. Just have to come and see it. You'll love our orchid trail. We have a free aloe plant to give away this time of year, special promotion, along with a gallon Suriname cherry. So
wow,
it's a Christmas cheer right now.
Wonderful. That is great. Suriname cherries are delicious. We grew
they
up
are.
With those. We
nutritious too, high in vitamin C.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Dana. I definitely want to see more nut trees planted. And if people have property, they should come and see you and start growing a orchard full of nuts.
Absolutely.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much, Dana. I just love the idea of seeing nut trees grow, and they have a beautiful fall color. So that is, you know, and the wildlife loves it too as well.
Oh, of course. I know that we don't eat acorns, but I don't know what's going on with the acorns, but they're going nuts at our house. So, yeah, so definitely nuts are very helpful to the wildlife.
They are, and you can eat acorns. I posted a picture of a beautiful fall color hickory tree on our Facebook page. You can go to that and see it, and that's Better Lawns and Gardens. And now it's time to take your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 236-80. Go on our Facebook page and you can like us, and we would love to have you as part of our members on our page. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And we've got some calls. And Lee, thank you so much from Orlando. She called in and she wanted me to identify a plant. Yes. And so, Lee, if you will send us a photograph of it, I will definitely be able to identify it.
That's right. So if you would... if you would like to send Teresa an email, you can, teresa.watkins@live.com. That's the best way to send a picture to her.
Yep, that is, and I can easily identify it too. And Linda from Zone B, Zone 8B in Tallahassee area there, she is asking about the volunteer persimmons that come up, because persimmons are native here to Florida, and will one of the volunteers produce fruit? And they will. They're just going to take a little bit longer, may not produce as much unless you have another persimmon go with it. So the cultivars, persimmon cultivars, need to have two, you know, a male and a female. But the volunteers will produce, but not as much. And it will take a little bit longer to produce. So that's a great question. And so we thank Dana Venrick for coming on. And again, you know, all of these fruit trees, you know, are what we want to have in our landscapes, to be diverse. If you have a little bit of fruit trees and nut trees for the birds and the wildlife, some with berries on them, then you're going to get a lot more activity in your yard. And I love seeing that. And so Rebecca emailed and she said, my friend wanted me to email you to ask her about her tomato plants. Well, Rebecca, you are such a good friend for emailing for your friend. I love that. And so she lives in Leesburg, and her pots are on her back patio and get full sun. She's grown many tomato plants in the past, has never had any problems. We're not sure what this is, and she says, I think it looks like a leaf miner, but I'm not sure because I've never had it. She has four pots, and three of them have this. Now, how do you recommend treating it? Well, Rebecca, great photograph. It is leaf miner. And leaf miner is a moth that lays its eggs in between the layers of the leaves of, you know, any citrus trees, fruit trees, and, you know, tomato plants, vegetables. It will lay its eggs on it. It doesn't harm the plants too much if you only have, like, one or two, but those squiggly lines means that the larva pupated inside the leaf and ate its way out of the leaf.
Oh.
And so by the time you see the squiggly lines, you could actually follow it where it was laid and go around and go around the squiggly lines until it goes out to the outside leaf and it flies away.
I kind of always wondered that. I've seen those before and I'm like, what is that?
Drawing all those little lines. And so, so it's more of an aesthetic issue with some of the plants. But if you want to look for the insect eggs, and so this is looking at your tomato plants and, you know, turning the leaves upside down or looking at them. And if you would like to prevent the leaf miner from laying eggs on your tomatoes, then you can use Spinosad or BioAdvance 3-in-1 fruit and vegetable spray. And you can just spray that on your vegetables. Both are safe for preventing pests. So that's a really great question. Thank you so much. That's Monterey Garden Insect Spray, which is Spinosad, a very common product. And okay for using with organic. And then BioAdvance fruit and vegetable 3-in-1 solution. And so that is a great choice. Let's go to Jerry in Port Lucy. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm glad I finally got a hold of you.
Yay!
I'm a long time listener, back to Tom McCubbin days.
Oh, wonderful.
I have a royal poinciana tree, okay, that I planted in May of 2021, and it's doing fine. It was doing great, but all of a sudden, I would say from April to now, it tripled in size.
Right, it's a big tree.
Yes, I know. I love it.
Okay.
But I would like to trim off the lower branches, mm-hmm, but I was told by the garden place that I bought it from not to trim it until winter.
Okay.
And when do we get winter here? I'm here 33 years. Every year it gets hotter and hotter in the winter.
Yeah, we do have hot years. And this year it's going to be a little cool. We're going to be, supposedly El Nino is going to bring us a lot of rain, which I just looked and it said the East Coast is supposed to have rain this week, the next 7 days. We could, yeah.
I'll see it.
Yeah,
when
no,
I see it, I'll believe it.
I appreciate that. And so what I would do is I would cut it after December, sometime in January, early February, and it'll be just fine.
Yeah, so it's really bad to trim it now.
Not necessarily. Is it in the way of somebody? It's hitting their head?
You can't mow the lawn.
Okay, so that's a good choice. So, so
you
what?
Know, I just want to... You know, trim down the bottom branches,
yeah,
the ones that hit me in the head.
Yeah, you can go ahead and cut it now then. That's an issue of safety and, you know, maintenance and stuff. What happens is when we grow or when we cut trees during the wintertime or any time of the year, it stimulates growth. And if we have a new growth on the Royal Poinciana and we get a freeze, then we could... you know, damage the tree. And so it's just one of those things that you can do it later on in the year, and then that way the new growth will come after March, April. Mm-hmm. And so we won't have, you know, it'll be out of that freeze time. And so, you know, I would wait until January to cut it if you want to take off a lot of it. But if you need to take off a couple of branches for, you know, maintenance so you can get underneath it, yeah, just go ahead and do it. Not a big whoop.
And you know what else is strange about this tree?
What?
It got flowers in October.
I know. Isn't it beautiful?
Just a couple, but I was like in shock.
Well, that's wonderful. And so are you fertilizing it? How tall is it?
It's got to be, I would say, at least 25, 30 feet.
Wow. Well, it's doing well then if it's growing.
It grew just this year.
Wonderful.
I mean, I'm shocked because I take pictures every year of it.
Uh-huh.
At the same time of the year. And it in May, you know,
right,
the month I planted it.
Right.
And from May until now, it had a triple in size.
Wonderful. Well, it's putting all its energy into growing roots and growing height. And so next year, you should probably get a wonderful bloom period for it. It should be magnificent. Send me a picture of it, okay, Jerry? I would love that. And so Carol is on the phone, and so we're going to be taking her call next, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Better Lawns and Gardens and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give me a call, we can do that at 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. We had someone text in on the proper pronunciation of pecan.
Oh, that cracked me up, too.
That, and they said that a pecan is what you keep underneath your bed at Grandma's house.
Yes, let's not confuse the two.
So let's go to Carol. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Good morning. Thanks for being there for us.
Thank you.
We've got a large planter with caladiums that have declined. So I'm cutting them back, pulling back the mulch, and want to put poinsettias in.
Okay.
But there's a lot of white flies that are flying up. Mm-hmm. Are they going to cause a problem with the poinsettias?
Yes, they could. You want to get rid of those. And so if you haven't planted your poinsettias yet, then I would say you need to spray. You can use an organic insecticidal soap like Safer Spray. And, you know, you may need two applications if there's a lot of them. Or you can use a insecticidal soap, any one of them. BioAdvance has some. And then you could also use neem oil. If there's no plants there, then neem oil this time of the year is not bad.
Okay. Oh, I'm so glad I called.
Yeah, because you don't want them to continue, because they will just continue throughout, and the poinsettias will be affected. So, yeah, you're very smart. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Carol. Thank you for listening. And so, you know, it's just important that you identify any insects issues that you think you're having. Identify the insect and make sure that they're there. Okay, sometimes we'll see dead areas in our grass, or we'll see something eating our plant. And, you know, the insect may have done the damage but has disappeared, you know, has either pupated and flown away, or that it has done its damage and it's moved over into an area that is not damaged, that you don't see. And so spraying that dead area, or spraying and using multiple pesticides at one time because you don't know what insect it is, or that you're thinking that it's a disease and it's not, it's an insect, or it's an insect you think it's an insect but it's a disease. So identify the issue first, and a really good way to do that is you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, we can talk about it and determine what it is. Sometimes you don't need to spray anything. It may just be pulling a leaf off. You know, I went to a client's house and they had one yellow leaf on their Xanadus. And I mean, it was really bright yellow. Out of all the other Xanadus that were bright green, nice and healthy, there was just one yellow leaf. And instead of thinking that it's an insect issue or a disease issue, I just pulled it off and I didn't have to look at it anymore. So it was done. I cured the problem.
So you make it go away and then it's like, yeah, it's gone.
And so, you know, but you got to make sure that it's not, you know, the other ones are not starting to decline too as well. So a yellowing leaf is called chlorosis, and it could be a number of different issues. It could be a sign of overwatering. It could be a sign of underwatering. It could be a sign of insect issues. It could be a sign of disease issues. It could be old age. It could be a number of different things. You have to figure out what it is.
Well, it's very helpful if you end up figuring that out, too. So just, well, you know.
It's going to save you money. And I mean, you know, you don't have to be buying the chemicals you think you need to be buying, or you don't, you know, you're keeping the environment. Overuse of any chemical, whether it's organic or synthetic, is not right.
Exactly.
And so you don't want to use a chemical if it's unnecessary. Sometimes, and that's what integrated pest management is. It's starting off with the most least offensive, or the most environmentally friendly, you know, method first. And that could just be cutting the branch off, the leaf off, you know, dumping the caterpillars into a bucket of water. And then if the issue gets more and more, then you have to, you know, increase the chemical. You have to use more, harder products, just to make sure that it goes away. And it's important that you do. You want to save your investment. And so right now is a good time to be, you can fertilize your lawn, but get a soil test first. Like Dana was saying, the nitrogen, we don't need to be putting down as much fertilizer as we think we do. We have to protect our water supply, and nitrogen and phosphorus are the two main nutrients that cause stormwater pollution. And by getting a soil test for about $35, and you can say it's soil test from Agritech, Agritech, which you can get at your extension office, or you can order it through Amazon, soil test one word kit from Agritech, and it will tell you exactly what nutrients your lawn and your plants will need, your vegetables will need. And it will save you money. It will save you labor. You may not have to be putting down as much fertilizer as you think you do. And we have these companies that come by and do monthly maintenance or you know, quarterly maintenance, and it's not always necessary. So you know, find out what your soil is. Test it every year. That's the recommendation, because your soil can change over a year.
Right.
And so that's the important part. So a great Christmas gift would be getting your husband or your partner or your favorite gardener a soil test kit.
Yeah, definitely. And it would be good to do it now, especially with the spring. I know that sounds horrible. I'm saying it. We haven't had Christmas. But, you know, people like to plant, you know, around January for that next harvest.
Sure.
And really, you get it done now. Now you know what to do to prep it for the next month,
exactly,
2 months.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can amend the soils the way that it needs. So John in Palm Bay says, how do I know if aeration is needed for my St. Augustine lawn? If so, what time of year is best? Could I do it now and in the spring? Thank you. Well, aeration is a really, you know, serious maintenance practice. And so one, I would say, how old is your St. Augustine lawn? If your St. Augustine lawn is younger than 3 to 4 years, probably no need to aerate it. So I would like to know why you think it needs aeration. And so soil thatch from St. Augustine lawns and any type of turf, when it gets thatch, it's caused from overwatering and over-fertilizing. That excessive nitrogen causes the grass to grow, and the leaves do not decompose, deteriorate, so it just builds up layers and layers and layers. Usually that takes 5 to 7 years for it to become a problem. So one, John, I would say, how old is your lawn? Why do you think it needs aerated? Is it building up thatch? Is it that you've got these layers of turf on the ground from mowing? You want to make sure that you're mowing your lawn on a not a frequent, you know, time frame, but as a necessary. You don't want to be cutting off, you know, 2 to 3 inches of grass at a time. If you take off a half inch at a time, a third of an inch at a time, that's going to be healthier. And it's going to decompose quicker. So a lot of what we get thatch for and we have to aerate for later is maintenance practices. So, you know, let me know why you think you need to do it. And then I'll let you know if you do. You can send me pictures of it. 1-888-455-2967 if you're in the garden area. Coming up next, we have really a great guest. It's the first time he'll be on the program. And we're going to have a discussion about how there's no such thing as annuals or perennials.
What?
Yes. And so we're going to have that. Big thank you to Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist, for coming on and telling us about nut trees. I think there should be nut trees on every street.
Yes.
Just having beautiful trees that make nice shade canopy. And, you know, it's good for the wildlife. And it's good to eat. Nuts are nice and healthy
for you. And it's good for the ER if you live in a city on a sidewalk. And then the nuts, you know.
Yeah.
Fall and people slip and fall. Yeah, it's always good, Teresa. Good idea.
Well, it's sort of good. Yes. Okay. I wouldn't put them near the sidewalk. And Dana said that, you know, in the backyard, though, that would be good. And so if you would like to go to Quality Green Specialist, he's at 33 West Michigan Street in DeLand. And you can go to his website, qualitygreenspecialist.com. Has a great assortment of native and non-native trees, fruit trees, and just a lot of great products.
That's so right. And he has a little special going on right now, so why not? You know, it's that time of year to get little free gifts,
it
seems like.
I love shopping at nurseries. I really do. And so we appreciate him being a sponsor of the show. If you have a text message, you can text us at 23680. Go to our Facebook page and like us. And if you missed any of our episodes, any of the hours, you can go to iHeartRadio and connect, and you can hear all our past podcasts and shows, and then you can sign up and subscribe, and you'll never miss one. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Teresa Watkins on Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Like Teresa said, go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. Check out all the cool things we have, like Strange News Contest, and you can find Better Lawns and Gardens podcast posted there on WFLAOrlando.com.